Scalpins Audio. Coming to you live from my house in Santa Monica and Adam Felber's house in North Hollywood, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, bankruptcy. You got nothing. Your books are bleeding red, and you haven't even started reading chapter 13. When you're looking at a problem that hand sanitizer can't solve, what do? Bankruptcy lawyer Sanaz Sarah Barilliani will tell us how to go broke without getting broken. Plus, Quarantine Corner. We're here to help as you homeschool your children. Suddenly, to so many American parents, teachers seem way underpaid. I'm Paula Poundstone, the host of this podcast, the woman who always steers us towards conversational insolvency. And now, please welcome the co-host of our show, the man who is making that keyboard rain money notes, Adam Felber.
Hello, Paula.
Hey, I love doing your job.
I love doing the band's job, although it's really distracting because I was trying to read the script while playing the piano, and it turns out I can't do both at the same time.
Oh, darn it.
Yeah, it's all right.
Anyways, so Adam is, we're all in our houses, nobody's. Adam is in his house, and I'm in my house, and Bonnie's in a den.
She's like somewhere,
the base of a tree.
I'm crinkling.
Captain Crinkle is at her house, and Tony Anita Hull is at her house, and Ken Lezebnik.
Right. He's listening in.
He's
peeping in the window.
I thought I'd say Ken Lezebnik, and then you would explain where Ken is.
Oh, Ken's in his house.
Thank you, Adam. Ken, who is never here anyways, in his house. And by the way, Adam Felber, I'm not comfortable.
Oh, look at this.
I'm not comfortable in Paula Poundstone's house.
Mrs. Culpepper, I'm sorry I can't see you. I trust you're wearing your ruby sateen dress.
I am wearing my ruby sateen dress, but let me just say this, Adam Felber. I want people to know in these difficult... Mrs. Culpepper, have been through difficult times before. I was not always the Mrs. Culpepper of the beautiful red sateen dress you see here today or don't see.
But these are trying times, Mrs. Culpepper, and I just want to make sure that you and the captain have all the supplies you need and you're all battened down and safe there in your homes.
I'm more comfortable not being near her because the crinkling sound is difficult to endure.
Bonnie Burns, I'm just worried about the health of you and Captain Culpepper because, you know, you're getting on
Captain
in years and both
Culpepper,
of you should be very
mistake.
Careful.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said quite correctly because Captain Crinkle has destroyed my ears over the year and a half we've been making the show. Adam Felber, Captain Culpepper is no longer with us, sir.
Oh, where is he holding up?
No, he is not. He is not quarantined. He is simply not alive any longer.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mrs. Culpepper.
It's
I really
not from
have
the virus,
that up.
Of course. No, he passed many, many years ago, Adam Felber, and not from the virus. No. I'm not concerned about the virus in that way at all. He passed in a different way.
Well, I don't need to know how he passed, but I'm glad to see
that. Tyrotoxism, which is...
Dairy poisoning.
Yes, it's a poisoning by cheese or other dairy products. And in his case, it was, in fact, a cheese.
Oh, really? Well, enough said. Let's move on.
It was the goat of the garden, Adam Felber.
Okay, Mrs. Culpepper. That's just fantastic to know. It really is. All right. Well, Paula,
I could be interrupted by cats at any second. Just keep that in mind. All the wires dangling off the equipment that Wendell put together in my bedroom is really intriguing my cats. So my cat Tonks keeps flicking at the wire. Maybe that's why when we were sound testing, you thought I was going in and out.
I just assumed it was Captain Crinkle that was interfering with stuff.
You know, Adam, I have some happy news.
Do you, Paula, please? I could use some happy news now.
The Pod Puppy, has been asked to be the ball dog at Wimbledon, I guess because of our connection to Roger Federer.
Wow.
Anyways, during this period of time, I've been training her every day. And so she'll be a very able ball dog. And I've trained her to do other things. She wears gloves. And we've had so much time to train that she's even sewing pussy pillows and doing a lot of my social networking.
Wow. That's really impressive. I was unaware that they were hiring ball dogs for Wimbledon.
Well, I don't think they ever have before, but apparently there was something about her that just, you know, charmed Roger Federer.
Now, Roger Federer, you have said owned that appliance store, in fact, named Fetters, back at our old location on Miranda Street before we moved to our new location at Starburns Media before the plague hit and we went into our homes.
So, No. Back up. Roger Federer owns the appliance store that's across the street from not the recording studio that we're not recording in now, but the recording studio that we're not recording in from before.
That's what I was saying.
Studios. Yeah. Yes. No, Roger Federer is there. And that brings me to a really important point about today's show, which is that the 100th caller contest is still going. So
even in these troubled times, you know, that's interesting, Paula, because I was here to make the announcement tonight that given to what's going on in our world, we are temporarily suspending the 100th caller contest.
No, absolutely not. The 100th caller contest endures as a shining city on a hill. If you are the 100th caller into the 100th caller contest, you can get any appliance that you want free from Roger Federer's appliance store. And also you get to hang out with Adam after the game.
There's no games anymore.
Not just
all the games are canceled.
Temporarily, Adam. Let's not go. Yeah, no, there'll be games again. And then you'll hang
someday.
Out. Oh, of course there'll be games. Don't be silly.
First time I've rooted against sports coming back.
Oh, because you don't want to hang out with the 100th caller after? No, you might love hanging out with the... in fact, Adam, answer the phone!
What? It's not ringing, is it?
Yes, it's ringing! Answer the phone!
I must have a bad connection here because I can't hear any phone.
It's ringing! Answer the phone!
Hello?
Adam? Am I the 100th caller?
You are not. I think you're number 46.
It's me, Cher Eva. I knew it. I was not the 100th. I knew I was not the 100th caller. Now, Adam, I am just getting a sense that you are not in a studio right now. Is that correct?
Well, I would say that's correct in that we just said that.
I'm calling on the phone. I'm not listening to the show. Adam, Adam, I'm getting a sense that you're isolated somehow. Am I right about that?
Cher Eva, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from my dwelling, my apartment.
Which is where?
In Berkeley, California.
Okay, great. So then, like me, you're under near total lockdown right now. That's not psychic. That's simply being aware of what's happening in the world.
You may have a gift.
No, I don't have a gift.
That was unbelievable how you... Okay. Oh, my God.
Just but trying you know to use what? Reasoning.
I knew it. I'm not worried.
You knew what?
A cat came in the room. I knew the cat was going to come in the room. I knew it. I have a cat.
Fantastic.
And her name is Focus.
Focus?
Yeah. You have a cat, am I right?
I do. We have talked about my cat. Yes.
I knew it. Yeah. You have a cat.
Right.
And its name is something astral, something
Yes.
Its name is Moonbeam. Is it Moonbeam?
Yes, it's Moonbeam. But Cher Eva, can I just say that is a phenomenon that we paranormal experts refer to as memory. You've been on this show before, and I told you what my cat's name was.
I knew it. Okay. I have been on the show before. Yes. I felt that.
Yeah,
I felt that. Uh-huh. So you have a cat, and
yes.
And you are isolated. I'm getting a lot of feelings about this. And yes. I would
at this
really,
moment, I'm wishing I was slightly more isolated than I in fact am.
I knew it.
All right.
It. All right. Well, I'm going to call back then because I'd really like to be the 100th caller.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if we can make that happen.
All right. It was good talking to you, Adam Felber, right? Adam Felber?
Yes.
I knew it.
All right.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Eva. All right. Well, Paula, it looks like everything is more or less normal then.
I feel good, you know.
Yeah, I feel pretty good, yeah.
I feel good in this moment. I love doing this show. I love the nobodies.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's nice.
It's a pleasure to be able to offer this.
And by the way, this show is going to be a Rachel special. You know, Rachel, our listener who complained about how long the shows have gotten.
Oh, yeah. What was her name? Tony Anita Hall. What was her real name? Rachel something?
Rachel. I'm not using her last name, but Rachel.
Oh, we're not using Rachel's name. Yeah, because, you know, because we don't want people acting out towards.
People are very angry.
We don't want the nobodies.
Yeah.
But to review, Rachel was the nobody who wrote in to say that our show was entirely too long and, in fact, was longer than her commute. So that she wondered if we could alter our show so that it fit in with her commute and thus her podcast listening schedule.
Yeah. And boy, yeah. People on Facebook came down on Rachel. But anyways, today we're honoring Rachel's demand. By the way, Adam.
Yes.
I have a word.
Well, that's a ticket to not honoring Rachel's demand. But go ahead and tell me what your word is, Paula.
It's tautology.
Tautology.
It's a noun that means saying the same thing over again in different words, considered a fault of style. And by the way, Captain Crinkle is the master of the tautology.
Yeah, you know, she is good at it. Although I would say she also pulls like an anti-tautology, where she says what she thinks is the same thing and completely isn't.
No, she'll say like, do you have a dollar? And I go, no. And she'll go, well, how about 4 quarters? It's the same ask over and over again, just worded slightly different. Anyways, here, I'm going to use it in a sentence.
Go ahead. I'm a big fan of this word.
The president has lied and spoken repeatedly.
I see what you're saying. That's kind of a political quip using a logical term.
It was a quip. You know, you can't see me because I'm at home, but I got it out of this quip bag here I keep in my room. I'm very excited to add this to my vocabulary song, which is really, by the way, improving my vocabulary. So
I want to say, I don't know if it's improving your vocabulary, but your vocabulary song is improving.
Thank you very much. I know that wasn't easy for you to say.
No, I'm okay with that. I've made peace with your vocabulary.
Adam, answer the phone. Answer the phone.
Oh, no.
Go ahead, answer the phone. Come on.
Rachel's going to be mad at you. All right, hello.
Hey, Adam, it's me, Mike Boom Boniface. Who the fuck is
Hey, Mike, what's up?
Her vocabulary song's not getting better. What are you talking about?
What do you mean? It's getting better.
No,
it's
you
improving.
Were right the first time. It's not replicable. She's a nutter. I don't know how you
Michael,
put up with her.
It's so replicable that you just quoted it.
Oh, I did?
Yeah, the replicable part.
No, you've said that before. I like to say stuff you've said, Adam, because you know what, man? I don't say this to a lot of guys. You know what I mean? I don't say this to a lot of guys, but I really love you, man. I really love you. I'm sorry to hear you're isolated, because...
Are you not isolated?
No, not right now, no.
Where are you?
I'm at the beach in Florida.
What? Mike, that is the opposite of... You can't be on the beach in Florida. That's the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing right now.
No, man. I'm at the beach in Florida. I'm going to let my homies around me and shit. It's great. You know, you should go... I'll tell you something. Am I the 100th caller?
No, you're caller number 47, and you're going to kill us all.
No, man. No. I tell you what. I'm going to call you back in a little while. How about that? You are totally right about the song, man. You are totally right about the vocabulary song. Nobody can remember that vocabulary song. Nobody can.
Okay, it's exactly what I didn't say just there, but okay,
and I
Mike.
I say that with a plum, Adam.
With a plum?
A plum, man. Not a plum. What? Who the fuck
is that
says
a word that you learned
plum?
From?
That's ridiculous.
Is that a word? Is that a word you learned from the vocabulary song, Mike?
Yeah, actually it is.
All right. You know what? Enjoy your time on the beach. Try to kiss a lot of babes, okay?
Yeah. Pardon my loquacity, by the way. I apologize for that. All right. I'll be calling you back later.
Okay.
Talk to you later, Adam. Good talking to you.
Not really good, Mike. Okay. Wow, Paula, you see, your song is having an effect.
Wow. He really has expanded his vocabulary.
Yeah.
All right, here's the song this week. Ready?
You have your Glock?
I do have my Glockenspiel. You know, in this, during this time, I've been really wailing on the Glock, baby. Ready?
I'm going to try to accompany you.
Oh, do your best. This week's word is tautology. It's a noun that means saying the same thing over again with different words. Considered a fault of style. See you soon in a little while. Last week's word was temerity. It's a noun that means rash or presumptuous daring. The week before that, the word was aplomb. It's a noun that means calm self-confidence. Will I ever have that? No chance. Going back before that, the word was vituperative. It's an adjective that means bitter and abusive. What a shitty life you live. Ooh, that would be vituperative. And not long ago, the word was Lilliputian. It's an adjective that means very small or unimportant. Also, it's a noun that means very small or important. Very small or unimportant person or thing. Never mind, it doesn't matter. Let's never forget dilemma-free. It's a noun that means confused jumble or medley of things. Hodgepodge, who's podge, hodgepodge. Adam doesn't think my song is replicable, replicable, replicable. But I do, I do, I do, I do. Boy, Adam, all of our rehearsal with you and me has really paid off on that song, man.
What's even better, Paula, what's even better is that for our listeners, we don't know how much delay is on the line. So what I was playing might have nothing to do with what you were singing.
No, you know, we have spent, Adam and I saw a lot of this coming. And so we've been practicing with this. Adam hangs out more with Cher Eva than he likes to confess. So we saw this coming, and therefore we've been practicing using this setup, and me singing the song and Adam at his place playing the keyboard for quite a while now. And I want to thank you, Adam, because this is really, really paid off with that performance that we just completed.
I'm sure that's our next single after your Butterfingers song. It was really special.
Oh my God. It felt good. Felt good. When two musical instruments converge like that and you just feel like we're one.
Like my keyboard and your voice. Yeah. Yeah. Those instruments are.
And fucking wailing on the Glockenspiel.
Right. Oh. That instrument too. I was talking about the instrument that was your voice, which is a mighty, mighty instrument.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, in the absence of Jesse Norman, I've had big shoes to fill. Yeah.
No, that's not a nice thing to say about Ms. Norman. What?
I forgot to tell you something so important. We're having another online auction.
We are?
You know what? It's so exciting. And I know that the nobodies are going to want to, you know, everybody listening is going to want to get in on the online bidding.
Okay.
Shirley Chisholm. Who, as I'm sure you know, in 1968 was the first Black woman elected to the United States Congress. And in 1972, she ran for president. And if you listen to the speeches that she made, they are so uplifting. I highly recommend it.
And looking back, she could have done just as well, if not way, way better than George McGovern.
Oh, you know what?
In the general election.
She was a treasure and yet another ship that we stood on the beach and waved while it went by. But she used to ask voters in her speeches to join her on the Chisholm Trail. And I have with me right here a bag of her trail mix.
What?
It's, yes, I have a bag of Shirley Chisholm trail mix. It's from 1972.
Yeah. Sure.
It actually belonged to Shirley Chisholm. The raisins, it has raisins in it, and they're very hard, and the walnuts are very crumbly, but it is the original Shirley Chisholm trail mix from Shirley Chisholm. So that's to be expected. Of course, it was made before Ziploc bags, so the bag is just taped together at the top, so it's as fresh as
can be expected. Are
we
sure that 1972 was before Ziploc bags?
Yes, yes. There were plastic sandwich bags, and this is in a plastic sandwich bag, but it doesn't have the Ziploc.
It didn't Ziploc.
That is correct.
Tony Anita Hall, I would love you to research that as our research department, because
I'd be very surprised
if there were no...
I went to school in 1972, and my sandwich was forever falling out of the fucking bag. I'm right.
Okay. Well, that's possible, but then again...
Zip. I'm older than you. They had this little plastic flap that sort of flapped over, but there was nothing that held it on.
I know what a sandwich bag is, Paula. I know what a sandwich bag is.
It was, I knew it. It was held on by, it's a plastic bag from 1972. I mentioned that the raisins are very hard, and I'm noticing that the M&Ms are smaller back then than they've now. Because there are M&Ms, and there's walnuts, and there are very hard raisins, and the M&Ms, a lot of the candy coating has been chopped off. Oh, my God! Oh, my God, there's already a bid! It's $1,000 from Warren Buffett. I can't believe it. You know Warren Buffett? He's known as the Oracle of Omaha, because his business is in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah.
He's one of the most successful investors of all time. He's the chairman and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, a multinational conglomerate, and he clearly is a fan.
Did he submit his bio along with the bid?
No, I know who he is. I met him one time.
Did you really?
But you know what? I have to tell you something. Yeah, I did. In fact, I think I might have played poker with him. I'll have to check that out.
You would know, wouldn't you, if you played poker with the richest man in the world?
There was a bunch of guys there. So years ago, when I heard that Buffett was like, you know, the richest man in the world or one of the richest men in the world at that time.
Yeah.
I thought they meant Jimmy Buffett.
Right.
And I thought, God, he made a ton of money off that cheeseburger.
I would say Margaritaville was a much bigger hit than Cheeseburger in Paradise.
So you think he became the richest man in the world from Margaritaville?
Well, no, I don't think they're not the related. Again, you don't want to confuse the two people. Warren Buffett is one of the richest men in the world. Jimmy Buffett is a well-to-do singer, songwriter, lifestyle founder.
You don't have to tell me. Warren Buffett is known as the Oracle of Omaha. He's one of the most successful investors of all time. The chairman and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, a multinational conglomerate.
Whereas Jimmy Buffett, known for such hits as Cheeseburger in Paradise and Margaritaville, has founded sort of a laid-back, beach-combed, Hawaiian shirt-wearing culture who identify themselves as parrot heads.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Well, maybe he'll bid.
You didn't know about the parrot heads? Oh, come on.
No, I didn't know about the parrot heads.
Well, maybe he'll bid on the Shirley Chisholm trail mix, too.
I can only hope. I'm really excited about this. You should, it's just to have an item.
So what's Warren's bid?
$1,000. I've told you that three times now. Warren Buffett has bid $1,000 for the Shirley Chisholm trail mix, which was, originally belonged to Shirley Chisholm, who was the, first black congresswoman. And also the first black woman to run for president and an inspirational historic figure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I question the provenance of that trail mix. And I would point out that for Warren Buffett, bidding $1,000 is probably about equivalent to you or I bidding a fraction of a cent. But it's nice that he made the effort.
Wait a minute.
What's that?
Wait, there's another one. There's another online bid. This blows Warren Buffett out of the water. This is from Margaret Hazard. She's a nobody.
Oh, nice.
And she's in Italy. She's bidding $1,005. Take that, Warren Buffett, for the Chisholm Trail Mix. Thank you, Margaret. Thank you very much. That's so great.
That is great. That might be too rich for Warren's blood at this point.
Well, he started with 1,000 and Margaret's upped it to 1,005. Yeah, he's probably folding up his card table and going home right now. That is phenomenal. That's so great.
Well, congratulations so far to Margaret. And again, deepest apologies to Rachel. Coming up, comedian Joey Adams said, bankruptcy is a legal proceeding in which you put your money in your pants pocket and give your coat to your creditors. We'll see if that's accurate when lawyer Sanaa Sarabarilani explains how bankruptcy really works. That's coming up when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Hey guys, it's Adam, and tonight is January 3rd, and I am picking Giannis Antetokounmpo to score less than 36 points and James Harden to score more than 16. Why? Because I like beards. Am I putting a lot of money on this? I am not, because I'm not really a gambler, but I am having a lot of fun with Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. They're the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, who I would lose to, you pick more or less than 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in, or in my case, not. So I don't bet a lot. With the basketball season here, you can now pick combo projections across football and basketball from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that include two or more players from different sports or leagues. For example, LeBron James and Travis Kelce had a 10.5 combo of 3 points made plus receptions. Do I get that? Kind of a little bit. Prize Picks even offers a reboot policy so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and doesn't return in the second, that player is rebooted. So, it's like an insurance policy. Go to prizepicks.com/nobody and use code NOBODY for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/nobody and use code NOBODY for a first deposit match of up to $100. And then drop by and see how I did with the Greek Freak and Harden again on January 3rd. My hopes are not that high. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
On this day in unremarkable history, E.E. Cummings said, "You know, my shift key isn't working."
And we're back. Hey, Paula Poundstone, I'm liking this remote recording.
Yeah. Yeah. I got dogs and cats all around me. It's good.
You know what I don't have? I don't have the visual distractions that I'm now realizing that Captain Crinkle does along with her audio distractions.
What do you mean?
Well, she walks around the room and passes notes and opens up her bag. And I think that maybe some of the time when I'm reacting to sounds, I'm really reacting just to her constant motion as well.
Oh, yeah, that could be. You know, Adam, I forgot to say to you,
yes.
Thank you, house band,
right.
Adam Felber.
Yeah, you were supposed to, and I was kind of feeling like a little insecure, because I got to be honest with you, Paula, when I'm playing music just for music, I feel pretty secure, but this house band job is hard.
Yeah, it's a burden.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like, you know, cat of the week is to a cat.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to have a lawyer come on the show, Adam, and give us advice about bankruptcy, but let me just say this in my defense. I wanted this long before the stock market crashed. And the same thing, you know, last week we had an expert on the topic of depression. And I have to tell the nobodies, you know, we plan the guests like a long time ahead of time for scheduling purposes.
Right.
And so this was not a share Eva moment. I had no idea that any of these topics would be germane in perhaps the way that they are. You know, I hate the idea of sort of rubbing it in further to the listeners, but in fact...
I understand. You're saying that you were thinking about going bankrupt before it was cool.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And now everybody's jumping in the pool with me.
There's a bunch of Johnny-come-latelys out there.
Yeah, they know nothing of financial devastation.
Well, now they do. Well, let's find out the truth about how bankruptcy works. Sanaz Sarah Barilliani is a graduate of the University of Southern California, where she attended the Marshall School of Business and then earned her Juris Doctorate from Whittier College School of Law with a focus on reorganization and bankruptcy. Ms. Barilliani is a certified legal specialist in bankruptcy law who was named one of Southern California's super lawyers in 2019 by Los Angeles Magazine. Please welcome Sanaz Sarah Barilliani.
Thank you so much.
I literally flew across the room there to get to realizing I had to play the fanfare. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Welcome, Sanaz. Welcome.
Thank you. That was the best introduction ever.
Yes, yeah, Sanaz, I'm so glad you could be here.
Thank you for having me.
So let me, you know what? Let me just begin by asking you this, because I didn't know this about you. The super lawyer thing?
Yeah.
Cape or no cape?
Cape. Definitely cape.
Cape. Good.
Definitely. It's a burgundy one, too.
You're wearing it right? Are you wearing your cape right now?
I had to. I was going to wear it in person with you guys, but I didn't get the chance.
Oh.
Oh, it's a bummer.
Next time.
Damn it. Another loss. All right. Well, let's begin with the basic question. What is bankruptcy?
Bankruptcy, the easiest way to describe it is it's a fresh start. It's an opportunity to either reorganize your debts or just discharge your debts. It really depends on, can you afford to pay back any portion of your creditors or not? But I look at it as a fresh start, a next chapter.
Okay.
That makes it sound almost pleasant.
Honestly, it is. I think the fear of it or what people think it is worse than the actual process. I have clients that leave the trustee meeting with me confused because they're like, that's it. It's over. It's painless. And I think it's just the thought up to it. The anxiety of what is this is worse than the actual process.
So if they walk away and they feel like it wasn't that painful, do you just kick them in the shin and go, how about that?
We could do that too, for sure. Yeah. The ones that really need it.
Yeah, people like pain. Now, do people declare bankruptcy and then have success? I mean, is it like a business tool or a solution?
I would call it a business tool. I think that the solution is how you act after the bankruptcy. So if it teaches you a lesson and you change certain aspects of your life, then great. But it's a good tool to get there. So some people need to, you know, let's say they're going through a job loss and they need something to get rid of the junk so they can go on their ways. Or let's say they weren't good at budgeting. They need something to teach them of what's a good way to budget yourself. And these days, bankruptcy provides that.
Okay, now, when do I come to you? How do I know? Because, like, you know, as somebody who works in entertainment, I have job loss all the time. When do I throw in the towel and call you?
You can call me anytime you want. I have clients that call me even a year. They call me a year before they're ready to start the process. They're just like, I feel like I need to take care of this somehow, and I may not hear from them for a year or two. And then, you know, they tried different methods of dealing with it. They couldn't, they came back. And sometimes they come to me when it's like the day before foreclosure, which is something I don't really recommend, but hey, we get that too. So anytime's fine. Just anytime you think that this isn't working, I feel like I'm going down a hole or I'm scared about my finances, that's the perfect time to talk to an attorney.
Now, you mentioned that bankruptcy teaches budgeting. How so?
I know it sounds counterintuitive. So in 2005, they changed the bankruptcy rules. So you have to take a debtor's education course before you file and then a personal finance course after you file. They're really fast. I call it the traffic school of bankruptcy. They're like 45 minutes each, but they go over what things you need to change in your budget. So the test kind of basically looks at it and says, okay, you're spending too much money on utilities and gas, but you're not spending enough on food. So there's financial counselors there that'll talk to you.
Oh, I see.
And then with me, when we're preparing the petition, I go over the budget with them. I talk to them about their finances. We talk about what changes they should make what things the court's going to look at to see if, you know, they're being reasonable or not. Huh. So there's definitely some counseling that goes along that wasn't there years ago.
Oh, that's probably wise.
That sounds really nice. Let me ask you something, Sanaz, because you sound extremely intelligent, and yet you've chosen a line of business with clients who can't pay you.
Well, we got to think about it this way. Yeah, you're right. It's kind of funny. But the situation is that a lot of these people are still paying their creditors when they come to me. So
exactly.
What I tell them is, once you retain me, and that's just as low as maybe $200 as upfront deposit, you can stop paying the creditors and we'll start preparing your paperwork. So if they've been paying...
I could sell some pants.
Yeah. So if they've been paying like $3,000 a month to their like minimum payments, then they can easily just put $1,000 of that, for example, towards bankruptcy. Or otherwise, friends or family that are able to help them. There's different options. We definitely try to be reasonable in trying to make it work, given obviously they're there because they don't have money.
So working in bankruptcy law has not driven you to the brink of bankruptcy?
No, you know what? It's actually made me more humble. And I want to say I'm more respectful for a lot of people, because you see a lot of different things. Of course, you see the shady cases where they come in trying to plan things out, but you also see the family of four living on like $60,000 a year, you know, barely kind of going by. Still thankful for that $60,000, but then you look at your own circumstances and you're like, wow, I should really be grateful. There's people much in a much worse position that are still making it barely.
In David Copperfield, there's a character that David Copperfield befriends, and he's always going into debtor's prison. Who was it, you guys?
I don't know.
No idea.
Mr. Micawber.
Mr. Micawber.
You don't know about Mr. Micawber?
I've never read David Copperfield.
Oh, for God's sakes, you guys. all right. Well, Sanaz.
Yes. Sanaz, you hung me out to dry on that one. You could have confessed that you didn't read David Copperfield. But you were just like, oh, no, I'll let Adam confess.
I was going to piggyback on that one, yeah.
I cannot believe that you are one of Southern California's super lawyers in 2019, and you have not read David Copperfield. Yes, there's a great character named Mr. Micawber, and he keeps going into debtor's prison. Now, let me ask you something. If someone declares bankruptcy, do they have to have a bankruptcy lawyer? Because doesn't that mean it costs more money to go broke?
You know, yeah. I mean, they allow individuals to file without attorneys. I really don't recommend it. So there's a lot of things that you do need to do on this petition. Everyone thinks it's a simple petition, but you got to list your assets. You got to protect the assets. If you don't protect the assets, they can liquidate it, use it to pay back your creditors. Mm-hmm. And then the income test that you have to do, it's a little convoluted doing the means test. So if you don't do it right, then they can audit your case. They can dismiss your case. So there's a lot of things that can go wrong. So it's safer. They say you get what you pay for. So it's safer just to have an attorney do it, especially if you have a house, especially if you're self-employed, if you have something to lose. Mm-hmm. I would definitely do that just to protect yourself.
Oh, that's good. That's good advice.
All right. Now, let me understand something. Can Poundstone Industries declare bankruptcy, and then I just start another company like the Paula company?
You can start another business after your current business files for bankruptcy. But obviously, you know, there's got to be some good faith there. You can't file bankruptcy on this business and then take the assets of this business and just kind of transfer to the new company without your creditors knowing. So you just have to make sure, you know, they're completely separate. You're starting the new one from scratch. And there's no way that the court's going to look and think that you're trying to outdo the creditors, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is that how our president did it?
No comment. Probably.
No, he's had a bunch of businesses that went bankrupt, and it didn't touch him because he was personally wealthy and therefore, I guess, had the collateral to go into other businesses, but, you know, leaving a steaming pile of ashes behind him. Is that smart business?
I mean,
what he did was legitimate in terms of filing a Chapter 11 for the business. The business went down and that was that, or a Chapter 7. But I haven't looked into his bankruptcy filings to know if they were legitimate or not.
Okay.
But I'm assuming that they were, if the U.S. trustee and everything looked into it. But it is possible. You just don't see what he did often like that. I don't think I've seen it, someone file as many times as he has, but it is possible.
Wow. So he's really unique in that way. He's special and different.
Yes.
Would you say, Sanaz, that he's good at bankruptcy?
That's a really good question. I think that he's not scared of bankruptcy and he knows what it's to be used for and he knows when to use it. I think that more people need to, like him, not be scared of bankruptcy. I don't know if necessarily he's good at it, but the fact that he's not scared of it works to his benefit.
You know, that's a lot like me with the Tomorrow song from Annie. I know when to use it.
You're not scared of it.
I'm not scared of it. And I know.
When do you use it, Paula?
I write like now, every day, tomorrow.
Right.
I'm not scared of it. That's for sure. Because, you know, he has a natural ability with medicine. And so I'm assuming that his ability with bankruptcy is at least somewhat natural.
Yeah,
I would think.
I mean, I think that he's just got a lot of advisors that are kind of puppeteering him and he's gotten lucky so far.
Okay, yeah. I'll take that explanation. Now, Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, "It is said that the world is in a state of bankruptcy, that the world owes the world more than the world can pay." Recently, that seems to be pretty accurate. Stay tuned to find out more about how to deal with life when you owe more than you can pay. The cat of the week is Boo from Emporia, Kansas. We're back with bankruptcy attorney Sanaz Sarabarilliani talking about what to do when you go belly up. Now, Sanaz, this is a really kind of interesting time. Obviously, there's a lot of anxiety out there and a lot of people are faced with financial difficulties. What would you tell people during this financial crisis brought on by, you know, the virus? Should they be running to declare bankruptcy? Should they be calling creditors? What should they do and when should they do it?
That's a really great question. It's a really uncertain time right now. And everyone's going to panic and want to just do the first thing they can in order to resolve things. But I think that whatever you need to do will take a little bit of time.
I mean, yes, because I'm just saying, like, having you on the air makes me want to ask you to please take me and help me.
I'm more than happy to.
But I should wait.
But there's a... Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that they're going to, I guess, panic. And let's say they'll go online, find the first person without really even screening them and say, okay, here's my money, take it and file me. And I think you need to be smart about who you take on to help you with this. There's a lot of document preparers out there that are not certified and are not qualified to basically make sure everything is protected and your case is not going to bounce.
Uh-huh.
So you need to take your time for that. You need to also see what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, are you going to be laid off or not working for 2 months, or is this a 2-week stint? So that'll make a difference too of whether you need to file or not. So my advice is reach out to the creditors, you know, let them know you've been affected and see what options they have for you. I know, for example, American Express has been great with giving a month or two break on payments. I heard Bank of America is helping out with mortgages. So if you can get reprieve for like a month, to kind of figure out where you're at and then screen the right attorney for you, then that would be the best game plan. You should definitely file if you need to.
Right.
But do it right. Don't just panic and choose the first person that comes along.
I'm sorry. While you were talking, I found somebody online and filed. Was that wrong?
I'm self-employed and I've been fired. So that's not good.
Wow, Paula, you should have been a better boss to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that needs to be considered.
Treat yourself better, Paula.
My boss is an asshole. I've always said it. Well, I have one more question, Sanaz. Mm-hmm. Is there a difference between chapter 7 and chapter 13 other than 13 is further into the book?
That's a really great question. So,
and also, yeah, the events of chapter 11 interest me as well.
I'll go over all three. So chapter 7 is the one that most people want. It's the fresh start. It's the one that takes the least amount of time. You don't pay back any creditors. The whole point of it is to discharge your debt, so your unsecured debt. So that's the one people jump to. However, you need to be under a certain income or not show disposable income in order to qualify. Second, it's not a safe bankruptcy if you have a lot of equity in your house or you have certain assets or inheritances you need to protect. But if you don't have any of those, great. Let's file and discharge your unsecured debt.
Okay.
Now, if you have assets, like you have a house with equity or you're facing foreclosure and you need to stop a foreclosure and save your house, chapter 13 is the one for you. So chapter 13, you're basically filing and telling the court, don't sell my house, don't take my assets. This is the plan I'm proposing to pay back my debts, either all of it or some of it or even 5% of it. But don't sell my house. I have a game plan. So those are the two options for consumers.
So I rent. So can I use my house as an asset?
No, if you're renting, then no. This is just if you have a house you purchased and you have a mortgage, that would be considered
right.
an asset, not an apartment.
Okay, but what if the landlord doesn't know?
What do you mean?
That you're there?
That I used the house
really?
As an asset.
Oh, no. Here's the thing, Paula. If I'm understanding Sanaz correctly, because I have a mortgage and you don't, I think you get to do chapter 7. You light a match and walk away. Whereas I've got to do chapter 13 where I have to be like, okay, this I'm going to have to pay you back. Is that essentially right, Sanaz?
More or less, but if your house doesn't have any if your house doesn't have any equity, like you have more debt than the value, you can do a 7-2. And Paula, she may
Where would I find the equity? Is that near the fuse box?
It's behind the fuse box.
Oh, okay. That's good then.
But like Paula can also be making a lot of money. And so she may show disposable income. So then she may have to do a chapter 13. So
She's not.
Okay. Then you're set for a chapter 7.
I've met Paula. I've talked to her. She's not.
Well,
you just fired her.
She's set for a chapter 7. Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right. She's on unemployment.
Yeah.
Okay. She can do chapter 7. She's set.
Okay. This is not.
I was going to just bring up one other point. You mentioned chapter 11.
Right.
Chapter 11 is like the business bankruptcy. When you want to do, it's like a supersized chapter 13. You want to reorganize your business. You don't want to shut it down, but you want to get rid of some of the junk. So that's good for business owners who just need some help.
All right. Well, that was so helpful, Sanaz.
Great. I'm glad.
Yeah. Thank you, Sanaz. Sarah Baraliani for helping us reorganize our conversational debt about bankruptcy. And now we're going to take that information that you just gave us and run it through the old Pouncedonator. Paula?
House band Adam Felber, if you could give me a little background music. Are you ready?
I will try.
Perfect. Sanaz says you have to be careful about choosing bankruptcy document preparers because they're not all certified nor reputable. Which is great to know, given that I got a guy named Dragon's Blood off the internet. He's not on Los Angeles Magazine's super lawyer list, but he has a lot of tattoos, and the bullet hole in his cheek seems to have healed nicely. Now that I know bankruptcy gives you a budgeting counselor, I almost look forward to it. I hope I get a on-call counselor. I'd like to call at 3 a.m. and say, I'd like to buy a carousel. Can I buy a carousel? It'd really cheer me up. Or just leave the messages all day long. I'm thinking of putting in a pool. Hi, it's me, Paula Poundstone. Look, if I don't buy the Dollhouse Museum, who will keep it alive? Hi, it's me again, Paula Poundstone. Someone just offered me a cruise ship for a song.
All right. Well, she is a certified legal specialist in bankruptcy law who was selected in 2019 as a Southern California super lawyer by Los Angeles Magazine. Thank you for being on our show, Sanaz Sarabaraliani.
Thank you, Sanaz. That was fantastic.
Coming up, Quarantine Corner. Be a better homeschool teacher for your kids. We've got a whole plan to help you. That's coming up right after this.
That was lovely, house band, Adam Felber.
Oh, thank you very much, Paula.
Oh my gosh, Adam.
What's that?
We've had another bid online.
We have?
Yes, it's from Roberto Ortiz Falagan. I think I'm saying it right. He's a nobody.
Roberto Ortiz Falagan.
Yeah, thanks, Roberto. Boy, this online auction is really catching on globally. To remind our listeners, people are bidding on the Shirley Chisholm Trail Mix. That is, it's the original bag of Trail Mix from Shirley Chisholm. And it's in a... It's not a Ziploc bag. It's in a plastic bag, the kind where the plastic flip folded over and you were supposed to tuck it under sort of a slot. And your sandwich always fell out.
If you remember, Paula, we had some dispute as to whether Ziploc bags actually existed in that era. And during the break, Tony Anita Hall looked it up. And it turns out that Ziploc bags were, in fact, invented a few years before that, but were mass marketed by the Ziploc company first, kind of during Shirley's 1972 campaign.
That's all well and good, Adam, but this is not in a Ziploc bag.
I'm just saying that if Shirley Chisholm was indeed such a forward-looking candidate, why wouldn't she have gone with the newest, hottest, modern convenience known as a Ziploc bag?
Because I don't think she, wasted money.
Frugal woman.
I think she probably was frugal. This bag is taped at the top, which is what's kept.
Oh.
The M&Ms are in there. A lot of the candy outer coating has chipped off.
Well, that would be erosion.
The cashew nuts are a little bit broken up.
Okay.
And the raisins are hard as rocks. But that's not the important point. The important point is...
No, because it's a historical artifact. You don't want to eat this.
That's exactly correct. Yes, it would be like coloring over the Mona Lisa. It's not, you know, that's not what it's for.
Whether you're Warren Buffett or our new bidder, our new high bidder,
Roberto Ortiz Falagan. Exactly. I don't think they will. Clearly, these guys are bidding because they're, oh my God, Warren Buffett has another bid of $2,000. Oh my God. This is really
an auction now.
Yeah. You know, he's known for spotting value.
Hold on a second. I just got to take a second to say, Warren Buffett, what the fuck? Are you just messing with us?
He didn't win. He just bid. He bid, you know, and the bidding is open until the end of the show, you guys, or until at least we read the credits. The bidding is still open, so please, I don't think we should let Warren Buffett have it, but it's $2,000. That's where the bid is at right now for the Shirley Chisholm Trail Mix.
I just feel like Warren Buffett's messing with us, Paula.
Oh, that Warren Buffett is?
Yeah, because he could easily...
You know what? I might have read that wrong. I made a terrible mistake. That's Jimmy Buffett.
Okay.
Jimmy Buffett has another bid.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was hoping he'd bid.
Yeah, he's up to...
Better.
Okay,
so,
but the bid, nonetheless, is $2,000.
But what's great is that we've got Buffett on Buffett auction warfare now.
Yeah, I'm loving seeing that. Although, frankly, I'm really hoping a nobody wins the Shirley Chisholm Trail Mix.
I agree, because I would imagine that, like, Jimmy Buffett might even try to eat that stuff.
Unless he's
been in rehab since Margaritaville, he's likely to just kind of munch on that absently.
I think the parrot heads do like nuts, but the important thing
they do
is that this is in a plastic sandwich bag, not a Ziploc bag, and it is taped at the top, which is probably why it's managed to stay, you know, as together as it has. Anyways, hey, wait a minute.
That Shirley Chisholm was nothing if not forward looking.
I think, Adam, could you play a little music to begin our quarantine corner section? Could you give us a little social distancing music?
Oh, sure. Yes, there you go.
Thank you. It's time. It's time, ladies and gentlemen. It's time, nobody's, for Quarantine Corner. Thank you. We know that schools are closed and parents have been pressed into duty as teachers, should they so choose. So this week on Quarantine Corner, we are offering our own class for eighth grade science students.
Oh, yes.
Each of us are going to tell you something we remember from eighth grade science. I will begin.
And when you say each of us, who do you mean?
I mean the crack staff. I mean myself and you. Adam Felber, and Tony, right. Anita Hall is on the line, and Captain Crinkle.
Wait.
Who, thank you, Captain Crinkle. Who, let's face it, probably didn't hear a word that was said in science class. But
I was gonna question the wisdom of opening up the microphones to Captain Crinkle, especially during these trying times. I think what we all need is a little less Captain Crinkle.
No, Adam, this is the time where we need to pull together and where we're comforted by things that we're used to, and everyone's used to Captain Crinkle. She's beloved.
Okay, that's true. I mean, you're right. Here we go. Here's what we learned in eighth grade science. Paula
and Tony did a whole is beloved. I so miss being near her. It's very difficult being here in Paula Poundstone's house. A cat just licked me. I'm not enjoying that very much at all.
Mrs. Culpepper, I gotta tell you something. Can I tell you something, Mrs. Culpepper?
Well, yes,
I'm a little worried that your affinity for Tony Anita Hall is getting, it's becoming a little much. I'm a little worried.
Oh, no. She's like a daughter to me, Adam Felber. She's like the daughter I never had. I was worried sick about her when she was being keel-hauled on that cruise. I was worried sick.
Yeah, she wasn't really being keeled, Hall, I don't think, but she was on a cruise, which was...
No, I saw her. She put the picture up on social networking. Yes, she did. It was on social networking. I saw it. All right, here's what I remember from eighth grade science. When you're measuring a liquid in a graduated cylinder, you have to measure the meniscus, is that curve that the liquid has. Now, you have to put your eyes parallel with the bottom of the curve. You know, so you leave the graduated cylinder on the table, and then you lower yourself so that your eyes are parallel with where you're measuring.
Right.
And you're going to, the meniscus is that curve. You don't want to measure the part of the liquid that clings to the side of the graduated cylinder. You want to measure.
No, it's the bottom of the curve?
The center bottom of the curve. That is
correct. Okay, that's great. That's the meniscus, everybody. Meniscus.
That is the meniscus. And the other thing that I remember from eighth grade science is that Jane McKinnon did not want me in her group.
Really? Why not?
Yeah. I think I tended to distract.
Really?
Oh, let's not stickle over it. Yes. Okay, Adam.
All right. Eighth grade science is where we learn the scientific method, which is that you have a hypothesis and then set up an experiment, and then you run the experiment and see if your hypothesis is correct. I also learned
What? We're talking to eighth grade science students, and you just said we learned the hypothesis. What is a hypothesis?
I think the second part of my stuff is more important, but a hypothesis is when you have an idea. Like, the idea is that Captain Crinkle, on average, generates 50 decibels of noise per hour, you know, per hour, you know. Uh-huh. And then what you would do after you've gotten a hypothesis is you'd say, all right, so what's going to be my methodology? What you have to design an experiment to test your hypothesis. And so I would put Captain Crinkle hooked up to a microphone over a several hour period and start averaging my results. And then that's the experimentation period. And then I would look at my data and provide analysis. Does Captain Crinkle make as much noise as I had previously thought she did? That's the scientific method, people.
Oh, I don't think she does.
Really?
All right, speaking of noise, hold on. I'm opening a soda. There we go.
That's a good sound effect. Okay, so that's the scientific method. But the real thing that was important that I learned in eighth grade science was that comedy will find you. And by that, I mean that my teacher, Mr. Iannotti, was a little man, very fastidious. And he was somewhat famous for accidentally lighting his tie on fire while demonstrating the Bunsen burner. To the point where the year before me, the students somewhat sardonically donated a bow tie for him, which, you know, to do the next year when he demonstrated the Bunsen burner. And in fact, he did show up in a bow tie that day laughing about how it had happened before. And swear to God, while he was demonstrating the Bunsen burner, he accidentally set the flame way too high and lit his bow tie on fire.
Wow. What a great memory that is.
And literally had to beat his neck to put it out. And at that moment was a little too humiliated to really laugh about it. But I'm sure down the road he found a way. And if, Mr. Iannotti, if you're out there, that was fucking hilarious. That's what I learned in eighth grade science.
All right. Thank you, Adam Felber. Captain Crinkle?
No.
Captain Crinkle, what do you remember from eighth grade science?
Well, I was going to talk about earthquake faults, you know, the faults.
Go ahead. Do it. Don't get distracted.
That Paula reminded me of the things that I remembered most in eighth grade science, which were the stools with the gray metal legs and the little wooden round seats that we sat on. And we could look around at the guys and write little notes to one another, the girls.
Aww. What do you mean you could look around at the guys? You couldn't look around at the guys in other chairs?
The stools allows you to see guys?
We were sitting on stools. I don't know why it made it easier to see guys and send notes. And then we had little gum wrappers.
Yeah, I don't think it did.
That we made chains out of.
Okay, buddy, I need to cut you off.
Because I remember that.
You had something to say. You had something to say, and it was probably going to make sense. And instead, you let Paula distract you.
This is exactly why Jane McKinnon didn't want me in her group.
Yeah. Bonnie, I'm going to ask you a couple of things. Number one, it sounds like you accidentally swallowed your microphone. Number two, go back to the thing that you were going to tell us that you learned in eighth grade science.
A fault. I learned about faults, which is a crack or a fracture in the earth.
Oh, I thought it was going to be that everyone kept blaming you for stuff.
No.
Well, I would. Well, see, the fault thing is very succinct.
Okay, well, there you go. And then what happens is...
And then what happens? What's what happens, Bonnie?
No, pressure builds up, right? From stress, from the crack.
Don't
and
I know.
And then that creates an earthquake.
Well, thank you very much.
That
was
very
succinct.
Close to correct. Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
She was able to take that in and remember it while looking at guys on this special chair. And
I'm guessing,
Bonnie,
were you staring at their butts? Is that it?
It was so much easier because, you know, it's freer. Come on. I can't be the only one.
No, you know why?
Why?
It was the precursor to bar stools.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Do you want to know what the biggest fault is in America?
Yes.
The San Andreas?
You Trump. Are wrong.
Okay.
No.
I know what the biggest fault is. I'm going to guess. What, Paula?
The fucking fault. Because when you say to someone, it's your fucking fault, and it's the biggest fault in America, that's the fucking fault is the biggest one.
I think you
one.
Might be right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fucking fault. Is that correct, Bonnie?
No, it's not correct, Adam.
Well, what is correct?
Okay.
She's going to make me ask her.
No, it's the New Madrid seismic zone, which is, I have to read it to you to make sure I get it right. It's in the southern.
You didn't fucking remember.
No, it's in the southern and midwestern United States, stretching to the southwest from New Madrid, Missouri.
You didn't remember that from eighth grade science.
No, I had to look that part up.
Exactly, Paula. This is my point. We're talking about what we learned in eighth grade, and Bonnie decided to get on the internet, probably while we were talking just now, and Google a fun fact.
Yeah, that's not...
Honestly, Bonnie.
I thought it would be
Bonnie, I want you to take a second right now and apologize to Rachel. You owe Rachel a fucking apology.
Who do I owe an apology to?
Rachel. Our listener.
Why do I owe her an apology? Oh, because I just...
Because you wasted a lot of our time. Paula, please roll this forward to Tony Anita Hall.
All right. Bonnie, I just want to say one thing. If we go long, it's your fucking fault. All right. Okay. Tony Anita Hall, what do you remember? See, Tony is the closest to eighth grade. Tony, what do you remember from eighth grade science?
Last year.
Cute. The human heart has four chambers, left and right atrium and a left and right ventricle.
Wow. We weren't even allowed to talk about that in the eighth grade.
No, that was considered obscene where you grew up. Now, what's the difference between an atrium and an oracle? Are those just the same names for a different thing?
No, the atrium is the big section in the Nashville Conference Center with all the plants.
Right. Right. And the oracle is a software company.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we get that. Yeah. All right. Then we're all there.
Well, you guys, thank you so much. This is going to be of so much value to eighth grade science students. You know, you can probably take the rest of the week off, I would think, from that subject, because we've really given you.
Whatever your parents say, no science for you eighth graders. You've got it. And everybody, we're here to help. Let us know what class we can help teach your children during these trying times. Email us at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. And speaking of hotel soap, Paula, you're not going to be on the road.
I'm not.
So I guess that part of your job, which you hate, is over, so we can move on.
But Adam, my store is open. The store is open.
That's right.
And it's not yet bankrupt. It's right there at paulapoundstone.com. It has my Butterfinger single, Not My Butterfinger, and the ringtone, which is also available for download on my new website, paulapoundstone.com, as well as the pussy pillows and my remarkably soft tri-poly blend t-shirts with the self-portrait on the left breast and the memorable quote on the back. You can find those there too. You know what I think is just so ironic? If somebody had written it in a movie, people go, well, that's not believable.
What's that?
Finally, we got the website up.
It is up, and one of our listeners immediately ordered a pussy pillow, got it, and posted a video of her cat enjoying it on Twitter.
Oh, isn't that nice? Yeah, I love that.
It is nice.
Yeah.
But another miracle happened, Paula.
There was another miracle?
Do you know the other miracle?
No.
Oh, there was another miracle. One of our listeners, one of the nobodies who had ordered a pussy pillow, approached me on Twitter and said, now, where do I go to get the Felber's Feline Fun Bags? No. Now, if you remember, Paula Poundstone's pussy pillows, this catnip toy, comes with a grommet that you can tie a string to. But Paula does not include the string, which I thought was kind of cheaping out on our listeners. So I somewhat waggishly offered that I would, if you sent it to me, sign your Poundstone's pussy pillow, tie a string to the grommet, and send it back to you in its new incarnation as Felber's Feline Fun Bags. And for the first time, we have a customer who wants to know how to do that.
It was Bonnie. Bonnie wrote to you and asked.
No, it wasn't.
It was too. It was Captain Crinkle. Adam, answer the phone.
What? I don't want to.
Answer the phone. Answer the phone.
Okay. Hello.
Hi, Adam. It's me, Miss Nancy, the first grade teacher from Fairbanks Elementary School. I hope I'm the 100th caller because I have been giving online instruction to my students, and I have been drinking a lot of coffee, which I normally can't do because Russell, one of my students, doesn't sit down and work long enough for me to make it to the teacher's lounge for a cuppa when we are able to give instruction in the actual school building. But since I have been giving my students the online instruction, Russell is his mother's problem, frankly, and I have been able to drink a good deal of coffee. I'm hoping that I'm able to win any free appliance from Roger Federer's appliance store because I know a lot of celebrities hang out there. And I'd really like to meet Tom Hanks. He seems so calm. I think he would be a good influence on Russell, my student, who I love, but is a little spring butt, quite frankly. But more importantly, I am really hoping I can get a coffee maker at Roger Federer's because we will be back in the classroom at some point. And by that time, I'm afraid just one coffee maker in the teacher's lounge will not be enough. So am I the 100th caller?
You are not. You're number 48, Miss Nancy.
I'm going to call you back then.
Okay.
I'm going to call back. Thanks for taking my call, Adam. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Miss Nancy. Wow. That woman is an inspiration, right, Paula?
Well, she's been posting her online instruction sessions up on the internet, and they are really...
Yeah, and I want to tell people that if you want to see them, you can visit Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone on our Facebook page or on Paula's website and see some of Miss Nancy's daily instruction to the kids. It's really helped my kids a lot.
Oh, yeah. No, she's one hell of a teacher.
And she's really good.
Oh, my God. Adam.
Yes.
There's another bid on their online auction this one is from Claire Milstead. Another nobody. She's bid $2,010. Thank you, Claire. Claire must know what an inspirational woman Shirley Chisholm was. And you should go online and watch some of her speeches. One of the things that she once said was, "Service is the rent we pay for the privilege of living on this earth." And Claire Milstead, an admirer of Shirley Chisholm, and wants to bid $2,010 on the Shirley Chisholm Trail Mix, which was the original trail mix that we got from Shirley Chisholm. Well, thank you so much, Claire. Wow.
That's really great. Yeah, that auction is going really well.
It's unbelievable.
All right.
Oh, my God. Guess what?
What?
Another. What? I know it's only open. Wait a minute. Wait. Let me stop there for a second and see.
Okay.
Where are we?
Are you looking at the auction, our online auction?
I'm trying to look at the online auction, but are we, is the show done?
No, I was just looking for a moment to get a word in. We're going to take a quick break and then finish the show.
Well, what do you want to say?
I want to say we'll be back. Right after this. Fun fact, the hashtag symbol is technically called an octothorpe, which is Latin for 8 likes. All right, we're back, Paula.
All right.
Wow, we are running this show like a well-oiled machine.
You know, I know a lot of shows have had to go to different methods to tape and to make their shows work. It's as if our show was made for this.
Yeah, it really is, because the enhanced lack of focus and personal connection doesn't affect us at all.
No, I was pulling ticks off my dog there for a few minutes, and you never even seemed to notice.
I didn't. Well, everybody, Rachel, reach out to Rachel. Was that one short enough for you?
Oh, Rachel is really going to appreciate this.
Yes, she really is. Once again, everybody, our email address is nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. And feel free to write into us right now for anything you need. We'll do our best.
And you can find me and Adam on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can find my remarkably soft Try Bali Blend t-shirt with a self-portrait on the left breast and a memorable quote on the back at paulapoundstone.com. Oh, my God. The auction is going to be up in just a minute here. We're to the countdown. Okay. Let me just check. There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
What is it?
Margaret Hazard, the nobody who's in Italy, is back with another bid just in the nick of time. Clearly a fan of Congresswoman Chisholm, who, by the way, represented Brooklyn's 12th district. And as a freshman congresswoman, they tried to sideline her by putting her on the agriculture committee. And she said, apparently all they know here in Washington about Brooklyn is that a tree grew in it.
That was a great? Good one. I would share a bag of trail mix with that lady any day.
Yeah. You know, one of the speeches online, she does say that. What a pistol this woman was. And Margaret has bid a whopping $2,011 for the win for the Chisholm Trail mix. I just realized that the white things in here are actually chocolate chips that have tarnished. Anyways, congratulations, okay. Margaret.
Not for eating. Yeah, well, that's our show, everybody. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam the Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Mixing by Michael Hoagie. Special thanks to tonight's house band, Adam Felber. And thanks to our guest, Sanaz Sarah Berigliani. Starburns production by Land Romo. Technical direction by Jessica Gutierrez. Transcription services for the show provided by TranscribeMe. Use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com to receive the lowest prices and expedited services.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
Well, there we are.
Yeah. You know, Adam, I started digging a hole in the backyard today.
Are you burying someone?
No, I'm just digging a hole.
Oh.
I just digging a hole.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm just going to dig as far as I can.
All right, well, maybe you can record from the hole next week.
You know, I sounded like I was recording from the hole this week. I'm just going to keep digging.
Keep digging, Paula.
I'm putting a studio in my backyard. Just keep digging.
Starburns Avenue, a podcast network.